Welcome to the Screen the Screener College Basketball Podcast with your hosts, Mike Randall and Gus Kearns.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, Screen the Screener listeners out there. Thank you so much again for tuning in to Screen the Screener Podcast. We're always thankful, very humbled, absolutely excited to talk a little bit college hoops with you for the upcoming 2017-2018 season. Earlier this summer, we took you on a little summer road trip. We took you on the Hamiltonian path. We discussed the coelacanth. We even discussed what might you find if you're looking for the next South Carolina, a 7th seed, under the radar to make a Final Four run. Well, today we'll take you on another little escapade, another little voyage, another little gallop around college hoops. Today we're just going to talk about what the next surprise might be. When we talk surprises, I want you to think 2014, where the Dayton Flyers made that Elite Eight run, beating Syracuse along the way. Also, I'd like you to think about 2011, when the play-in darling VCU made their Final Four run with Jamie Skene and Rodriguez playing the point. Also, don't forget about 2006, George Mason. Coach Larrañaga had his CAA representatives make a Final Four as an 11 seed. Unbelievable. And then, of course, cannot forget the biggest surprise of all, Butler's back-to-back title game runs, 2010 to 2011. I mean, those are the type of surprises that we're looking for. So what we thought we would do today in this particular podcast is take you guys on a tour around the country and maybe open your eyes to who just might be that next surprise team. That surprise team that makes a shocking Elite Eight run like the Dayton Flyers, an absolutely mind-blowing Final Four run from the play-in game like VCU, an unprecedented Final Four appearance, much like George Mason, or maybe even something unthinkable at that time. With Coach Stevens heading Butler to back-to-back championship games. So the thing that we're going to pay attention to here, we got four categories. Each one of these teams is going to check the box in each one of these four categories. If you are going to make this type of Final Four run, you need one college stud. And if you think about on the Butler team, of course you had Hayward as being the college stud. You also need one program lifer with tons of experience and tons of minutes, junior or senior, that's played from day one as a freshman, has been through the wars and the conferences and the conference tournaments and maybe even the NCAA tournament the previous year. Usually this is going to be a trusted point guard. Third thing you need to look for is a coach. A coach that could seamlessly slide into an NBA team or a bigger college program. That would make sense if he made that transition, much like each one of the other coaches. If you think of Coach Miller at Dayton, he's now at Indiana. You think of Coach Smart from VCU, he's over at Texas. Think of Coach Larrañaga from George Mason, he is now down in Miami. And if you think of Coach Stevens from Butler, he's running the Boston Celtics. So each one of those coaches you could see easily slide into another job somewhere with a little bigger exposure and a little bigger audience. And the fourth thing you need is a vibe of the program. Or maybe the vibe of the conference, or maybe the vibe of that team, that particular group of student-athletes. There has to be some sort of unique vibe that's going on with that particular group of coaches and student-athletes. So you're looking for your college stud, your program lifer, your coach that would slide seamlessly into another situation, and the vibe. So let's start our tour, shall we? So thought if we're going to go, these are all going to be smaller to mid-major schools that we're looking at. There are going to be some names that you think are familiar, some that are unfamiliar, but we're going to try to familiarize you with all of them. That way, when you fill out your bracket in March, you can reflect back upon, like, remember back in August when Screen the Screener said this team could make a run if they got there, and here are the reasons why? And you go through and like, oh yeah, that guy's playing like a college stud this year. Oh, yeah, they have a guy that's been around forever. Oh, and that coach, I bet that coach is going to move on to a bigger job somewhere else or maybe up to bigger things or maybe even the NBA. And, man, does that team have some sort of identity or vibe? I'll tell you what. So I think the Catamounts are a good candidate for the next surprise team. So if you're going to take a look at Category 1, college stud, they definitely have that in Anthony Lamb. 6'6 forward was the American East Tournament MVP, or most outstanding player, in 2017. He just got better and better and better as the year went on, and he averaged 20 points a game in the conference tournament. Obviously, he was Rookie of the Year in the conference as well. And he put up big numbers in their NCAA game last year. He averaged about 12 points, about 5.5 boards, and over a block a game. I bet this year he fills up the stat sheet even further. Looking for your program lifer? Yeah, it's going to be Trey Bell Haynes. That's the point guard. Averaging 11 points, about 4 assists. He was the American East Player of the Year in 2017. He was honorable mention All-American by the Associated Press. He had 15-7 versus Purdue. The senior is your program lifer and can be trusted with the ball in a big spot. Coach that could slide in seamlessly to another program or maybe NBA. Definitely Coach Becker. Guy's well-spoken. Really big success last year. Remember, they went 16-0 in the conference last year. That is unprecedented. That is ridiculous. And if we go for maybe the guy that the feel-good story, he likes big games. I think it's Peyton Henson, 6'8 senior. It's about 11-ish points a game. He put up 21 versus Providence. He put in 17 in the tournament final when Lamb had an off game for them to get the automatic bid. So I think Peyton Henson is another person to pay attention for. He could fall underneath the lifer tag as well if you're going to pay attention to our qualifications. And you know what? The vibe of that program is they just had like this undefeated, nobody can touch us, we deserve this, we've earned this. You can't, even with your best game, we're still going to find a way to beat you. And like we said, Lamb in that American East final game had a little bit of an off game. And even with their best player having an off game, they found a way to win. So Vermont has that. We're going to find a way to beat you, even if we don't have all of our cards, aces, that particular day. So Vermont, first team to keep an eye on as your next big surprise. How about team two? We'll go to Middle Tennessee, right? If you're going to talk teams that are going to be a next surprise, I mean, they've had success. They won games in the last two tournaments. College stud, of course, we've got to go to Giddy Potts. He is a borderline legend there. 2 years ago, he shot at over 50% from three. As a sophomore, he averaged 15 points, about 5 boards. Last year, he was a little bit off and only shot at 38% from three. He put up 30 points in the Conference USA Championship game versus Marshall. So you know he's not afraid of the big bright lights. Tyreek Dixon, he's a sophomore point guard. He started 34 out of 36 games as a true freshman. And in Conference USA play, he averaged 8 points, 4 assists, 4.5 boards, shot at over 50% from the field, and he shot at over 50% from three. That dude, even though he's only a sophomore, he could qualify as your lifer. He played a ton of minutes as a fresh, true freshman and got his feet wet in a very tough conference. Keep an eye on well-traveled Nick Young. 6'7 swing, could play about 20 minutes if healthy. I think he might make an impact if healthy. And I think you also have to pay attention to 6'10 forward Brandon Walters. He's like 250 pounds. You know, we mentioned like the coelacanths from prior podcasts of the big men that can have an impact. And in his two games in the NCAA tournament, dude had an impact. He averaged over 10 points and over 5 boards in the NCAA tournament last year for Middle Tennessee. Pretty solid. So I think if you're going to pay attention to our four categories here for Middle Tennessee. Oh, and don't forget about the third guard. I almost forgot about Antoine Johnson. He had 19-6 versus Butler in the NCAAs last year. And when they lost to Butler, Butler played really well. But Johnson really showed out and played really well in that particular tournament. So I think they have a nice three-guard alignment with Potts, Dixon, Johnson. You can throw Walters in the middle. Yeah, that sounds like a decent lineup to me that can surprise anybody at any time. So if you're going to go stud, of course, we got Giddy Potts. Your one lifer, even though Dixon's only a soft, we'll give it to him. Coach Kermit Davis. Who wouldn't want him in their program? I'm sure he's got tons of offers in the past couple of years after his NCAA success. And the vibe of that program, man, don't you just love that vibe? After pulling that ups against Michigan State, they are afraid of nobody. Absolutely nobody. That year, Michigan State was the 2 seed, and they were picked by many to go to the Final Four, maybe even win the whole thing with Denzel Valentine, you know, co-player of the year with Buddy Hield. So they have this, we're afraid of nobody, anywhere, anytime. We can beat anybody, anywhere, anytime vibe. Gotta love that vibe for that team. Another familiar team, familiar face, I guess, familiar identity that had past NCAA success, but with a different coach, is Florida Gulf Coast. I think if you're going to pay attention to a team that's had past success, much like Middle Tennessee had the last couple of years, if you go back to when Coach Enfield was there, he had that thing up and running, upset Georgetown, made the Sweet 16. Florida Gulf Coast definitely has a stud. Brandon Goodwin, total stud. Senior 6'2 guard, 18 points a game, over 4 boards, over 4 dimes. He broke all sorts of Florida Gulf scoring records, season record. He had 28 versus Florida State. He had a game-winning 3. 3 game-winning shots in 2017. If you're going to go stud, he is the stud of studs. Bet he's in the running for player of the year in the conference. You know what? They have a great lifer. 6'5", Christian Terrell. Guard averaged 11 points a game, 3 boards, 2.5 assists, shot at 35 from 3. He is definitely a lifer. He's been there for a while, been through the system, knows how things work. Simmons is a 6'9", former VCU transfer. He is that needed banger. I bet he notches up a few double-doubles this year for Florida Gulf Coast. And surprise, I think the second semester is going to bring them Michael Gilmore. Keep an eye on this. 6'10 forward will be eligible, hopefully, second semester. So he might be a nice, like, influx of talent and size that they might be missing during the early part in the season. And they have tons of big. They got Ricky Doyle, who's a former Michigan player, transfer. And they have Brady Ernst, who's also from Iowa State. So they have multiple bigs that they can run in and out. But I'm telling you, Michael Gilmore might be that difference maker down low. For them that second part of the season. So keep an eye on him when he becomes eligible, see if he can infiltrate himself into the program and into the rotation. So stud, obviously. Florida Gulf Coast has Goodwin. He is a major league stud. Program lifer? Yeah, Terrell is definitely a lifer. He's definitely trusted with the ball, been through the battles. He knows what to do. Coach Dooley. Coach Dooley has this thing up and running again. Sometimes when a coach leaves, like Coach Enfield left, program falls flat on its face and has trouble finding its identity again. Dooley has done the impossible at the low mid-major level and brought this team back to relevance again and makes it important again. And, of course, the vibe of the program, they know to get up and down and they love to shoot the ball. They will score with anybody. And now it seems like they have some size inside. So it's just not going to be them shooting threes. They are going to be able to clog up the middle with some of that size inside. So the vibe of that program with past NCAA success, I would be very scared of Florida Gulf Coast personally. Fourth big surprise team is one of my favorite teams coming in to this season to keep an eye on. I just love Oakland. I think the Grizz are going to do big things this year. They kind of got tripped up in their conference tournament last year and thus didn't have the opportunity to go ahead and get into the NCAA tournament, even with a stellar record last year. But they definitely have a stud or maybe two studs. Jalen Hayes is a 6'7 senior. He averaged 16 points a game, 8 boards a game. He's a total stud. And Martez Walker, I think he's going to be in running for, yeah, I felt like he was in the running for Conference Player of the Year last year. He averaged almost 18 points a game and 4 boards a game. And then let's not forget, they might have a real big-time player here in Kendrick Nunn. Mike and I have talked about numerous times on the podcast when a high major player goes ahead and transfers down. Nunn is a former Illinois player. He just might be that type of player that totally explodes at the mid-major level. And if they can have those three guys leading the charge, man, that's impressive. Don't forget about Dorsey Walker. He's a 6'4", former Iowa State transfer. He averaged 13 points a game and over 5 boards and almost 4 assists a game. So he's going to be a player as well. They got Stevie Clark, the former Oklahoma State point guard, who makes 86% of his free throws. So you're going to have him in late game situations to help take care of the ball. The question mark here for me is Isaiah Brock. Now, we made a big deal and did a whole podcast on Isaiah Brock coming into the season last year. We championed him about how being a former Army veteran and how Coach Camp offered him a scholarship and an opportunity to come play college ball. Brock did a great job last year for the Grizz, 7 points. He had over 70 blocks, about 7 boards a game as well. He left the team this year to focus on his academics. Kudos, Isaiah Brock. He definitely has his priorities in order. Here's what I'm crossing my fingers on. I'm crossing my fingers that second semester, he feels confident with his academics. He feels confident with where he is with his studies and comes back and plays the second semester. Wouldn't that be a great story? Then he would be that big inside that Oakland would need. And I'm kind of crossing my fingers and hoping that that happens. Love to see him back on the court this year. He had a huge impact for them. He did have foul issues because he played so hard all the time. But you'd love to see Brock back in uniform and be a successful student athlete once he has his focus on academics in place. So, Oakland, let's go down the categories. Stud, and they might have 2, maybe 3 studs. So I think they're all set there. Program lifer, I mean, those studs, Hayes, Walker, and Nunn. Oh, my goodness, forget about it. Program lifer, it's tough at a place like Oakland. When Oakland brings in a whole bunch of these transfers, they might not have lifers per se in the program, but they do have basketball lifers. So I'm going to give the lifer to Walker, Dorsey Walker. I think he's going to be that guy that they can rely on. Coach who can slide seamlessly into another situation. Yeah, who can see Coach Camp doing something else big time somewhere else? It doesn't even have to be in basketball. And the story of how he had his life-threatening situation during the offseason, very scary. We're hoping that Coach Camp finds health, happiness, and is back on the sidelines doing his thing the way he likes to do it, which is really unique. You got to check out his cool Christmas sweaters. Oh my goodness, they're fantastic. And the vibe of that program, they just have players. And don't they always have players? Remember the Kay Felder? They had Benson who made the NBA a couple years back. That vibe of that program is they have players and can kind of ball with anybody. I don't think these guys are going to be really intimidated if they come in as like an 11 seed. I don't think that they're going to be scared at all. Maybe they're a 10 seed. Maybe they're lower. I don't think they're going to be scared of anybody because I feel like the players that they have played at big-time programs. You know, Nunn and Walker, of course, Stevie Clark. So I feel like these guys feel like they're a group of players that are going to take advantage of their second chance. So the vibe of this program, second chance, make the most of it for sure. Oakland, keep an eye out for those guys. Love Oakland this year. Really big fan. Another team that might be under the radar a little bit, they've had some past NCAA success. How about Belmont, right? How about Belmont? Coach Bird always runs an efficient offense there. He makes you think. He makes you think big things. He makes you think, why is he running things this way? Why is he allowing so much freedom? Why is he allowing these guys to shoot so many threes? I really like what Coach Bird does. You can see him sliding in seamlessly to another situation, but you feel like he's entrenched there at Belmont a little bit. But he is one of the finest coaches in the country, for sure, no doubt. If we're going to go stud here, I think we have to go Akizi right off the bat, 6'8 senior, 11 points a game. He plays the 4 and the 5. He shoots at about 38% from 3. Again, he lets everybody shoot the 3 that can shoot it. 6'7, Dylan Winder. Almost 10 points a game. He was 40% from 3 as well. And he's a lefty, crafty lefty. The lifer, of course, is Austin Luke, 6'3 senior, was second in the nation in assists last year to Lonzo Ball. He averaged over 7 assists a game. DeAndre Bradshaw, 6'7 point forward. He's a perfect fit for Coach Bird. The Frosh is going to find the playing floor, I think, quicker than you might think. And Mac Mercer is a red shirt from last year, and he's 6'9 and can shoot it. So he's going to play some at the five, but he's going to have, Coach Bird is going to have five players on the floor when he has his A lineup out there of everybody that can shoot the three. Exactly what he wants at all times. So does it hurt that Brad isn't there to toss into the low post and get some efficient touches and get some easy scores? Yeah, of course. They'd love to have him back. He had a great career, unbelievable season last year. So if we go college stud, yeah, I think Akizi could be that stud for sure. The lifer, of course, is Luke. Coach, of course, Coach Bird can do anything, anywhere. I could totally see him sliding into an NBA front office for all intents and purposes. And the vibe of that program, man, they are just going to shoot it and fling it. So if they get hot, they can totally beat somebody in the first round, maybe even second round, and maybe even go further and make like a Dayton run, like to the Elite Eight. So I think Belmont is a team worth keeping your eye on. Of course, they're going to have to rely on the automatic bid in their conference, most likely. But who knows? Maybe they get a couple of wins early on in the season to bolster their resume. Now, the seventh team, this next team I went back and forth on. I was like, maybe do I talk about Grand Canyon? But I settled on New Mexico State. I really like what New Mexico State has coming back. I think they're going to be a factor. You hate, much like Belmont losing Brad's, New Mexico loses Ian Baker. He was kind of their do-everything, almost 17 points a game and four boards, four assists. He was awesome. But when you can bring back the guys that you're bringing back, I think New Mexico State is going to be in decent shape. You got Braxton Huggins. He shot over 200 threes, and rightfully so, because he shot at 42%. If we're going to bring up best shooters in the nation, I think Huggins has to be in the conversation. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be. He's got to be in your top five if you're making a list of best shooters in the nation. Sidney Dier, he's from France. He averaged 12 points a game. 6'2", I think he's going to get a little bit of an expanded role this year. I bet you see him handle the ball a little bit more. Eli Chua is 6'7", but he's like the big man down low. He does like everything. I'm going to call him their stud. He shot at 60% from the field, 70% from the line. I bet he even starts shooting some threes this year. He averaged over 12 points and 9 boards. You know what? Do everything Jamaro Jones can play and guard multiple positions. He's like the Leatherman of the Aggies. I bet that he does a little bit of everything for them and finds some spots on the floor at all four positions, the 1, the 2, the 3, and the 4. They do have some bigs. And Jonathan Wilkins, 6'10", he's going to play a ton. And we mentioned on our Coelacanth podcast, Tanvir Bular, 7'2" center is back. So they have some bigs down low. Now, they're going to be really tough because they have Chris Jan coming in from Wichita State, former assistant coach there. So you know that they're going to have this toughness about them. Much like the Shockers do every single time they take the court. And they're going to have big opportunities. They got a big game against Davidson Friday, December 22nd, in the Diamond Head Classic. And also, let's keep an eye on freshman redshirt Johnny McCants. I think that guy might actually be a big-time player for them on the wing, make some shots in the second half of the season once he gets acclimated a bit. So if we're going to go through our categories here, the stud, I'm going to say Chua is the stud. The 6'7 power forward, do everything guy. He is definitely the player that they can rely on. If we're going to go lifer, I think Huggins is the lifer. He's been there forever. The senior's coming back. He can shoot the ball from pretty much anywhere. He is open, so I like him. Chris Jan, I bet this is just a stop on. I bet he finds a ton of success at this stop and maybe even goes to someplace bigger. The vibe of that program, I bet Coach Jan adopts some of the winning qualities that the Shockers have when they made their Final Four run and had their undefeated season coming into the tournament. So I'm assuming that he will go ahead and indoctrinate like a whole bunch of Shocker ways and maybe even play angry in some sort of New Mexico State way. So I think New Mexico State, got to keep an eye on those guys. I think Grand Canyon is going to be a factor in that conference as well, but swayed one way or the other, I think New Mexico. Now, the next team, I think we've talked about a little bit before, but they're worth talking about one more time. Got to bring up Nevada, right? They have a ton of transfers coming in. They do have a stud. Jordan Caroline is a for real stud. That guy can ball with anybody in the country. Put up sick numbers last year. He's going to put up as amazing numbers this year, if not better. And if, you know, we're going to give Jordan Caroline like one calling card. He put up 45 points in that epic New Mexico game, five overtimes. And we said before that he led the conference in offensive boards. So the guy's not afraid to dirty his nose a little bit on the inside. Now, lifer, might be Lindsey Drew. Lindsey Drew does a little bit of everything. He's been around. He's very similar to USC's De'Anthony Melton. Drew can shoot it a little bit. You gotta love the senior point guard. You know that he's gonna do it, make all the right decisions. You know that he's gonna be trusted with the ball in his hands. So I think you got your stud in your life for taking care of right there with Caroline and Drew, no doubt. As far as coach, we know that coach has had success in the NBA. And he's turned around this program in no time flat. And he's also been like, I don't know, like Iowa State West with all the transfers he's bringing in and all the success. And a couple of those transfers we need to mention, of course, the Martin twins. Both of them are going to play big, Caleb and Cody. And I bet they play Caleb Martin, Cody Martin, and Caroline all together at the same time. That would be, there's like three playmakers on the floor at one time there. That's a little crazy. And a guy to keep an eye on here is Elijah Foster. If they can get Elijah Foster back after his legal troubles and get him integrated, you know, accepted in the locker room, so on and so on, get him back into building positive team chemistry, which I'm sure the guys would welcome him back with a hug and a fist bump, no doubt. But he's the key. If he can play big, he's like 6'8"-ish, 240-ish. They can have him down low to get a couple paint touches to open up all the shooting for everybody else. Man, this team is serious. As much as I like Oakland, Nevada is definitely another team to keep an eye on. Dang, they are loaded, and they are doing great work out there. I think that they're the favorite in the conference. And even if they don't win the conference tournament, I think they are one of those teams that could get one of those at-large bids, especially with the home-and-home series that they just officially announced with Rhode Island. That'll help both of those programs immensely, for sure. Last team to look out for as far as the next surprise, how about UT Arlington? UT Arlington had some success last year. They beat St. Mary's, and St. Mary's, pretty successful. They beat Texas, I believe, when Texas was ranked early in the season. So they do have some past success. They bring back Eric Neal. Eric Neal is definitely a lifer. He's a senior point guard, 39% from three, almost 13 points a game, about four boards, about six dimes. Little guard does just about everything you want a senior point guard to do. Man, love that guy. Love watching him play. So he is your lifer at UT Arlington. And how about Kevin Harvey? 6'9 stud. 18 points a game, almost 10 boards a game, two threes made per game. The guy does everything. He boards for you. He can stretch the defense. He's going to score in multiple ways. He's got a little bit of a mid-range game. I think he's an NBA player. If he doesn't get drafted in the late first round or second round, he will definitely get an invite, maybe one of those two-way contracts like Jake Wiley. But I think he is a definite NBA player, so I think there's your stud. Scott Cross, coach at UT Arlington, has been changing. He's put that program on the map. Like with those two big wins last season, St. Mary's and Texas, like they're now a factor. Like you need to watch out if they're on your schedule. If you run into them in one of those early season tournaments, like you are scouting like crazy to figure out how to beat this team and scouting like crazy. Like how did this team beat St. Mary's and how did this team beat Texas? Well, it starts with the point guard and the stud for sure. A couple other guys to pay attention to. Nate Hawkins, former Nebraska transfer, 6'5 guard. Jalen Jones, JUCO guard, averaged about 12 points a game. And got Kalen Wilson, another senior guard, averaged about 10 points a game. So you love having that senior leadership in the backcourt. You love having them complement your stud and Harvey. And don't forget, you got Villaboa, the 6'9 senior who does all the dirty work. He averages like 7 points a game and 7 boards a game. But you know he's going to be a space heater. You know he's going to do some of the dirty work down low so Herbie doesn't have to do all that banging and grinding down low. So they do have all the pieces. So stud, definitely Herbie. Love him as a player. Definite NBA player waiting to happen. Lifer has to be Eric Neal. That point guard's been there forever, and he did it right last year. He is one of those undersized point guard that just does everything right in the college game. Coach, yeah, I think Scott Cross is on the way to doing something big here. Maybe he establishes himself at UT Arlington and they become like another like mid-major darling, or maybe he's just getting ready for another job somewhere else. And the vibe, I think they strike fear in people, especially after those wins. I think people will be nervous with them on their schedule. Whether it be out of conference or in one of those early season tournaments. So I think the vibe is, yeah, people are fearful and wary of playing UT Arlington. All right, so there's your rundown. Those are your 8 teams to beware of for your next surprise. Could be Elite 8 run like Dayton 2014, maybe a play-in Final Four run like VCU in 2011, George Mason 2006, or Butler's back-to-back championship game runs. Just to give you a little rundown, we talked about Vermont, we talked about Middle Tennessee, Florida Gulf Coast, talked about Oakland, love what Coach Camp's doing, Belmont, New Mexico State, Nevada, and UT Arlington. So we're giving some of the smaller schools a little love on this podcast. Hope everybody appreciates the love out there. And if you like what you're listening to and you're a fan of those teams, please spread the word of the Screener podcast to those fans of those programs so they can get juiced up for the season just like you guys are. If you like what you're listening to, please give us a cool review on iTunes. Any positive reviews that we receive on iTunes, we will read out aloud on the podcast. We are trying to get as many positive reviews as we can before the official start of the college basketball season. So please take a moment and do that. That'd be very kind, very generous. Mike and I would be very humbled. If you'd like to hit up Mike on Twitter, the guy is all over the place and all over it. It is FTS Warrior Mike on Twitter. He is a fabulous follow. If you do not follow him, please give him a follow. If you want to follow the podcast, please do. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to interact with you at SVS Podcast on Twitter. Please give us a follow. It'd be really kind. And we just wanted to finish up with a couple of ahoys out there. Ahoy out there at the FF Chief. Fly, Eagles, fly. Thanks for listening in. Totally appreciate it. And we want to say ahoy out there at Josh Malik. Great photos. Keep them coming. Love them. Love the visuals. If you'd like to email the show as well, hit us up on Gmail, sdspodcast@gmail.com. Again, thank you so much for listening to the Screener podcast. Mike and I are always humbled. We're amazed. We're honored that you guys carve out some time in your week for us. So thank you. Catch up with you guys soon. And the college basketball season is getting closer, and who knows, maybe one of those 8 teams we just mentioned will be the next big surprise in March.